Jamie Locker with you here, the Green Zone. Welcome to a Friday. I hope you're enjoying your day. That means it's all Request Friday, 1-877-332-8255. That is the text line. It's also the fan line to give us a call. You can send in your requests. What are the tunes you want to hear going into the weekend? 1-877-332-8255. Locker, what do you want to hear this?
Oh, let me think about it.
What do you want to hear? What's
Why were you talking about Colter Wall earlier?
He released his new single today.
Okay, I want to hear that.
That's what I also want to hear. So coming up later on, we'll hear Colter Wall's newest
behead. You and I are both big fans of Colter Wall.
And his album will come out in November. So
nice.
But what do you want to hear? Maybe it's just Colter Wall. Maybe it's not. 1-877-332-8255. All Request Friday. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and we begin with the Rough Riders getting ready for the Edmonton Elks. Oh, what a welcome addition back into the lineup.
And that's Emelis for the first time. Emelis, what a spin move down to the 5-8 there. Touchdown Riders, Emelis.
Sam Emelis is back in for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He will start tomorrow against the Edmonton Elks. 5 o'clock to kick off the Green Zone pregame show at 3. Some other roster notes. Sean Bain Jr. is also back.
That's huge.
One of the most talked about receivers.
Was that even on our radar?
Britton was watching it. He was like, he kind of was like, Mario's taking some reps.
Just like
Sean Bain Jr. was taking some reps. So he's going to be the return guy. Mario Alford, he's out.
He's not fighting something.
It looks that way, right?
Yeah.
He's missing a burst. So Sean Bain Jr.'s in. He'll help return kicks. Philippe Gagnon also back.
He's come in from the mountains.
Yeah, he's got a glorious beard. With an arm injury, he'll be the sixth offensive lineman. Marcus Sales is back for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders after missing last week. Still no Tavon Campbell. Now Shane Ray is also injured, so a little bit more of a beat-up defense than an offense. And still no Kean Schaefer-Baker, but he's no longer on the sixth game. He's on the one game as he's starting to work his way back. So the Rough Riders can actually clinch a home playoff game this weekend. What they need is a win and a Lions loss to Toronto, as the Toronto Argonauts do take on the BC Lions tonight. Doubleheader, Friday Night Football. The first game is Davis Alexander's return for the Alouettes against the Calgary Stampeders. And, of course, it was sad news yesterday in the CFL. Late in the show, we found out that Edmonton Elks owner Larry Thompson had died at the age of 65. Due to complications from a recent surgery. His wife, Deb, will continue the ownership of the Edmonton Elks. Says in a release yesterday, said she very much wants to continue Larry's vision and legacy as a deep, 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 deep supporter of the green and gold. But it was sad news yesterday.
Yeah, shocking too, because he went in for a procedure and then had complications.
Severe complications to it. So you'll see some tributes to Larry Thompson. Meanwhile, in BC tonight, the Lions say they're going to make an announcement after the first quarter tonight.
Hmm.
Nobody really knows what to is. Are they going to announce another game in Victoria? Are they going to announce where they're playing their games with the World Cup in BC?
That makes sense.
I think that's probably where it's heading, but we'll see when it comes to what they announce tonight. So there's a look around the Canadian Football League.
Good news for Jays fans. They're back in the win column.
It's Noah Cameron. It's Noah Cameron in Kansas City, a left-hander.
And he's hit it high and deep to right. Grand slam, Dalton Marshall. It well to the opposite field, and it's gone.
So Varsho and Springer back at it. All the scoring from the Jays last night in the sixth inning. The final was 6-1. Kind of a scary ending to the game. They had the bases loaded before that third out. Hoffman. Yankees still won, so they're now still tied at the top of the AL East going into the final weekend. The Yankees will be at home to the Baltimore Orioles, and the Jays will be at home to the Rays. So the Yankees have the advantage as far as the matchup goes, just because it's the Orioles, and the Rays aren't. They're not dominating, but
no.
But the Jays seem to struggle with the Rays at time, and so it'll be interesting to watch this. It's a lot of eyes. A lot of Jays fans are going to be, because it's going to come right down to the wire. And it looks like Shane Bieber is going to get the ball tonight.
Yeah, Shane Bieber starts tonight. Mike Wilner is going to join us a little later on from the Deep Left Field podcast and, of course, writer for the Toronto Star. As we get to the National Football League Thursday night, football needed it. A field goal right at the end of the game for Seattle.
From 52, the kick wobbles, but makes it through. And the Seahawks win it at the gun.
Yes, the Seahawks win. And also in that game, Jackson Smith and Jigba, pretty much it would have been iced it if that touchdown goes ahead, but he was called for holding.
Offense number 11.
Yeah, that was some BS.
Did you see the look on the ref's face?
He was not happy.
Oh, that was the best part of the whole game last night. I hate to diminish what turned out to be a fantastic football game, a fantastic Thursday nighter, surprisingly. But yeah, the look on his face was just fantastic. A little bit of foreshadowing for our champ today. All right, we'll move on to golf. Ryder Cup is underway at Bethel Page Black.
McIlroy to win the hole.
We got a bit of an update here. Team Europe is trying to win on American soil for the first time since 2012. Europe has won 8 of the last 11 Ryder Cups.
Mm-hmm.
And the score right now, with a couple of matches, obviously, they're playing Friday four ball, is 3 for Europe and 1 for the Americans. And the one that we're watching right now that they're featuring is the Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose.
Well,
and
when you look at the matches, you look at the matchups right now with Europe up 3-1 after the morning session. The session's going on right now. Europe's up 3-3 with Rahm and Straka in one of the matches against Scotty Scheffler, and they have 6 holes left in their 3-3. One of the matches is tied. The Americans are leading 1-4 with 7 to play in that one. And Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry just got another one. So they're 2-up with 7 to play. 7 to play in that one. So Europe's having a nice first day at the Ryder Cup.
Got the edge right now.
Meanwhile, not good news, it sounds like, for the Florida Panthers, as their captain might be out long term.
Here comes Barkov, breaking in. Barkov in there. What a goal by Barkov!
Barkov in front, stuffs it in.
Here is Barkov to the net.
Alexander Barkov, lottery reports out, could be done for the season with a knee injury. Could be a torn ACL. For Barkov, injured yesterday at practice. It was just in a practice, not a game. It was just practicing, and that is not good news for the Florida Panthers without their captain and the best defensive forward in the game. No Kachuk. They are beat up going into this season. So maybe the Oilers do have a chance to win a Stanley Cup, because it doesn't look like they'll face the Panthers in the Stanley Cup final this year.
Well, if they've got Kachuk out for half the season, Barkov off for even 75-80% of the season,
they can afford to trade for Connor McDavid and bring on that salary. Locker's going to throw something at me. Okay, moving right along. Coming up next, the Riders and the Elks. How are you feeling, Rider Nation, after the bye week, after the loss to the Montreal Alouettes? Going in against Edmonton, what are you predicting to see tomorrow? 1-877-332-8255. Of course, it's also All Request Friday, so send in those requests. And still to come, Rich Pilon's going to join us ahead of a special event next Tuesday on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Mike Wilner is going to talk some Blue Jays, Britton Gray, with a preview, of course, of the Riders and the Elks. And he's heading over to the Brand Center tonight, the home opener for the Regina Pats. Bleeker is playing ahead of the game.
Oh, Beaker. I love Beaker.
No, Bleeker.
Oh.
Not the Muppet. The Canadian rock band Bleeker is playing.
That's disappointing.
And, well, you don't like Bleeker? Probably going to put on a good show ahead of the game.
I really like Beaker.
And then you have Maddox Schultz and Liam Pugh in their home opener with the Regina Pats tonight as well. Oh, and I best not forget, Drew Remenda's up with dropping the gloves. We'll see if he agrees with TSN's top 10 list, as I think Locker's saying I was right and he was wrong when it comes to the NHL top 10 list
that
was released earlier.
I said you had more right.
I was right and you were wrong. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You won't hear speech, see me dance. That microphone is gonna stag the bandstand. I won't pretend it might contend for best in the show. It's 1,800 miles from Music Row.
1,800 miles, Colter Wall's latest released over the last... this is one of 10 songs on his album Memories and Empties that is coming out in November, as Colter Wall has some new music coming out. This one, a lot of the country music insiders are saying is a little bit of a... You know what, to the Nashville music machine, that Colter's kind of always done it his way, right?
Without I like him in. By himself, guitar, nothing. He's
with the kick drum and all that stuff.
There's some
harmonica in here for you.
Little face piano. I'll listen. I prefer him acoustic. I love his just real stripped down stuff. That's my preference for Colter Wall.
All requests Friday, 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Oh, what are the tunes you want to hear? As we get set for the weekend, and of course, a busy weekend in football, local football, the Thunder and the Hilltops going head-to-head this weekend. The Huskies are on the road. Meanwhile, the Rams are at home this weekend at Mosaic Stadium for them, both those two teams. So you got the Thunder and the Hilltops. They're 5-1 at the top of the PFC. They're going head to head. Then you got the Huskies and the Rams. They're 3-1 at the top of Canada West. Let's get old Saskatchewan. And who's at the top of the CFL? The Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They're in Edmonton. Locker, what's your prediction this weekend? What do you got for the Riders and the Elks?
Well, I already know that you and I are simpatico on this being a close game. And I believe that the Riders are going to win. I'm not changing my mind there, but I think they're going to have a little bit of wind under their sails with the loss of their owner, and I think they're going to put up a really, really good fight too. An angry Riders team not happy with the performance before the bye, but then you got a well-rested team, and my prediction is a Riders win, but a close one, 32 for the Riders, 26 for the Elks.
Lower scoring. And I only got a point differential. I'm going 26-25. That's my score. I think this is going to be another tight one for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Edmonton Elks. Justin Rankin, that whole team is much improved since Cody Fajardo took over.
100%.
Like, they're in every game.
Well, and he can spin it, right?
Cody is a weird animal, man. Right at the end of games, all of a sudden he turns into Superman. But sometimes during a game,
plays it a bit safe at the front end, right? Like he's doing your quick routes and
holding on to the ball, taking sacks.
What did Matt Cause call it? No, who?
It was Marshall Ferguson called it a par three football.
Yeah.
From Cody Fajardo. He's taking out the wedge. He's not hitting many drives.
Yeah.
For the Edmonton Elks. What are your predictions? 1-877-332-8255. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in a sports doubleheader in the Canadian Football League tonight. It starts in Montreal. Davis Alexander is back against the Calgary Stampeders. And then you have Toronto against BC. The Lions say they're making an announcement at the end of the first quarter today.
Is this another partnership thing?
I think this is where they're going to play their home games for the World Cup, is where I really think they're going with this one. Meanwhile, the Riders are welcoming a bunch of guys back to the lineup. Sam Emilis is back. Sean Bain Jr. is back. Marcus Sales returns for the Rough Riders tomorrow against the Edmonton Elks. Ryder Cup is underway. Team Europe up 3-1 in the morning matches. They are leading in two of the four, and the U.S. is leading in one of the four going on right now. We'll continue to keep you up to date. The Panthers might be without their captain and could miss the entire season with a knee injury. And the Jays, of course, on the diamond tonight. They're at home, tied with the Yankees, heading into the final weekend of the regular season. But coming up next, it is an exciting night coming up next Tuesday on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. The Western Canada Pro Scouts Foundation is hosting an event in Regina to pay tribute and honor Indigenous hockey players. One of those, Rich Pilon, is going to join us next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It's 2:30. I'm Andrew Shepherd. The Saskatoon Tribal Chief Mark Arcand wants answers after an audit found $34 million in questionable spending by the FSIN.
This is probably one of the biggest scandals in First Nations history.
Arcand says nobody has heard from the FSIN since this report was made public. Postal workers are on the picket line today holding signs that say save door to door. They walked off the job after the federal government announced major changes on how Canada Post operates. Morgan Jansen is the local union president in Regina.
Everyone's very stressed right now.
It's not clear how long the strike will last, but Jansen expects it to be at least a few weeks. The police watchdog is investigating a deadly police-involved shooting in East Regina last night. It happened on Houghton Road, where police had a parking lot blocked off between an apartment building and a credit union. It is not clear yet what led up to the shooting. A Saskatchewan man wanted for sex crimes against a minor has been extradited back to the province. RCMP say 69-year-old Earl Warren was supposed to appear in court 2 years ago, but fled to the UK. He was arrested in London and was brought back last week to face charges including sexual assault. In a defiant speech, the Israeli Prime Minister says he won't buckle under pressure, saying Israel must finish the job against Hamas in Gaza. Dozens of delegates walked out of the UN General Assembly today as Benjamin Netanyahu stepped up to speak. It's 2:31. In Saskatoon and central Saskatchewan, clear tonight, low 3 with a risk of frost. Tomorrow, sunny, high 24. Sunshine Sunday, high 20. In Regina and southern Saskatchewan, clear tonight, low 4. Tomorrow, sunny, high 24, and then more sunshine for Sunday, high 23. In Saskatoon, partly sunny, northwest wind gusting to 55, it's 17 degrees. And in Regina, sunny, northwest wind gusting to 63, it's 18 degrees. The time is 2:32. I'm Andrew Shepherd.
All Request Friday, that's from Chris. He's sending that one out to the CFL commissioner. And he's also picking an Elks win over the Saskatchewan
Roughriders. He didn't say no. Trooper is still a possibility for the Grey Cup halftime show. And the original Trooper.
Sounds like Taylor Swift is no longer an option for the Super Bowl. Sounds like she is out. Adele might be in for the Super Bowl halftime show. We'll see what. They haven't announced the Grey Cup halftime show yet.
I wonder what's going on there.
He said soon. Stu said soon here on the Green Zone that we'd hear who the halftime show is coming up. But right now, we bring on Rich Pilon, former National Hockey League player, and he will be on hand next week with the Western Canada Pro Hockey Scouts Foundation as they are supporting three Indigenous charities on National Day for Truth and Reconciliation with an event celebrating Indigenous hockey legends on Tuesday next week. Rich, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the invite and looking forward to heading down to Regina and seeing some current players and meeting some new ones.
So when you look at those, this panel, one of those is Brian Trottier. Now, how important was Brian for you? Because you enter the NHL, you go to the New York Islanders, and there's Brian in the room, also hailing from Saskatchewan, also with Indigenous heritage. How important was he for a young Rich Pilon?
You know what, Brian, when I came in the league, actually right away, because I played with him, he took me under his wing pretty much immediately. And the hardest thing, I think back then when you're coming into the league like that, being obviously I was young, I was 19, Brian, just seeing his name, I was probably a bandwagon more than anything because I used to always cheer for Montreal and New York. So I got to watch Brian play a lot as when I got to watch him win the cups, it was just, now you're in that room with him, you can look across the room, he's sitting there, and you're like, you almost got to pinch yourself.
Rich, what are you hoping when you attend an event like Tuesday night? What are you looking for from an evening like that, outside of obviously, you know, raising some money for some great causes?
Well, I think for myself, and I'm like, to just add on a little bit more about Brian, I guess Brian and I have actually started, we're working with Métis Nation Saskatchewan for Truth and Reconciliation. We have the Louis Riel Cup happening in April of next year. And it's really based on reconciliation, bringing cultures together, not only Indigenous, but non-Indigenous, Métis, you know, Sikh. It doesn't matter. It's bringing all cultures together. So when you go to an event like this, it's about just bringing awareness that, hey, listen, it's sometimes the elephant in the room, and it's more about just bringing people together and getting to celebrate, tell some stories as an Indigenous player, Métis player. I'm going to get to meet some other players that I haven't met yet, and some I have and become friends with. So it's just a getting together and basically promoting not only Indigenous hockey, but just bringing all cultures together under one roof, and sometimes having a little bit of hard conversation, which it probably won't be there, but it's more about just showing that here we're one, and we just want to get, you know, bring people together, be it bring life into a better positive, you know, positive way.
HockeyScoutsFoundation.com is where you can head to if you're interested in gathering next Tuesday on National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, celebrating Indigenous hockey legends. Again, HockeyScoutsFoundation.com. How important was it? Did you have role models, people from the community you were able to look up to and say, okay, there's somebody who looks like me, has a similar background as me, and I too can get to the National Hockey League?
You know what? Honest, for myself, it wasn't that way. Growing up in a small town, St. Louis, I was more kind of, you know, I grew up in an era where my family, the way we grew up, and this is part of the reconciliation, is that my parents were taught from there, especially my dad, that he wasn't allowed to promote his Indigenous side. He was basically, from his parents, was that you got to speak, pretend you're French so no one picks on you. So me growing up under that with my father didn't come, and this is what Métis Nation has done for me, because in the last 3 years, not only with Métis Nation Saskatchewan, but with Brian, I've been able to embrace my heritage as a Métis. So when I was growing up in St. Louis, there was really, I grew up watching, you know, Guy Lafleur was my idol, right? Mm-hmm. In our area, there was really some good hockey players, like there's some that were close to playing in the NHL, actually, some of these guys. But they just never got the opportunity from just because of where we lived, probably, right? So, honestly, the game itself with these Indigenous players that I see now, I'm one of them as a role model. And you try and just, you know, it's not do as I, how's that term go? You say do as I do, but don't do what I do. I don't know if you've heard that. It's like, don't do it. Because I've been down a road of, like, you know, where, it's, you know, my story is pretty, I would consider myself an outlier, how I basically made the NHL. And when I tell my story to young Indigenous kids today, trying to be that role model, you know, I said at 15 years old, I was playing old-timer hockey and rec hockey in St. Louis. And all of a sudden at 19, I'm sitting on the blue line and with my first NHL registered game with the LA Kings, looking over and seeing Wayne Gretzky on the other blue line.
Wow.
Within 5 years, that's how fast my life changed.
So, In a roundabout way, not even in a roundabout way, if you're growing up and you're being told you need to hide who you are, that is a form of discrimination. That is suppression.
It really is. Yeah.
And I'm curious about how you handled it. And at some point, did you experience like direct racism in the game?
In the game itself, we were at the National Hockey League level. Yes, but I didn't look at it that way because I was kind of, you know, growing up, I was always picked on a little bit, and it was more because I was a little bit of a rabid kid, but I wasn't big at the time. So, you know, playing in the NHL, like I told a story the other day, I remember fighting one of my teammates because I was having a bad day on the ice, and this might be one of the stories I talk about even, and, you know, Dave was telling me, you know, I was struggling on my one-on-one, Al Arbor's my coach, I'm just having a bad day. And one of my roommates was just, hey, you dirty Paiute, you don't call me. Like, I'm like, what? Like, lay off, man. I'm having a bad day. And all of a sudden, he said it again. All of a sudden, we're going toe-to-toe in practice, right?
Yeah.
Then we got to drive home together. And I just kicked the living shit out of him. So it's like, I remember Mick Pacoda going, he was driving. It was just silence the whole way home. Because, you know, back then in our era, too, we lived together, right? We try to save dollars. And,
yeah.
Right? I grew up that way. And I really didn't embrace. Like, here's one of the things I said to someone, you know, so I have tattoos on me. I have Chief Sitting Bull on my ankle. I have a Chitty Mandela, which is like a drum with feathers. And I have a Chinese symbol meaning chief, which is supposed to mean chief, but who knows? That really tells you who I thought I was. Because when I left the Raiders to go to play at the NHL, they started, because I looked First Nation, I looked Indigenous, so they started calling me chief. And I embraced chief as in basically being First Nation, but not Métis.
Hmm.
So when I was telling my story to one of the elders here about, geez, what just happened, about probably 4 or 5 months ago, I didn't find my true identity as a Métis man. And didn't even look at myself as a Métis. I considered myself just half-breed, really, how I thought I was, a half-breed. And it's kind of like you're not Indian, but you're not white. So where do you belong? So that's where the whole, you know, as Indigenous, you have First Nation, they got their place, their treaty, they belong to a, you know, maybe a reserve or tribe, whatever. But as a Métis person, we just kind of fumbled around from both to both, not really having an identity. And that's the biggest thing now with me and Brian, with our, you know, our thing is called, we're under Métis Nation Saskatchewan, but our thing is Inspire 365. And it's about bringing awareness to our Indigenous and not only non-Indigenous, we want to pave the way as Métis hockey players that we are inclusive to no one and that we're going to bring all cultures together. We're going to go to non-Indigenous communities. We're going to go to, you know, anything. To be Sikh communities, we want to bring everybody, get them involved in the sport, get them off the couch, get kids and youth back to just playing the game, throwing the sticks in the middle, let them a little bit do it with themselves instead of always being structured. So lots going on.
Rich Pilon joining us here on the Green Zone. You talked about the L'Oréal Cup next April. I know in recent interview or past interviews, you've talked about your family. You know, you weren't really able to afford to go into these tournaments and things. How important is that representation now for you and Brian and others to make sure that there is a chance, so to speak?
Well, it's because like the game, and not only just in hockey, but the game itself with players today, a lot of it is manufactured. Like if you live in a city, you're allowed to skate. You know, it's a year round thing now. Where back in my era, Brian's era, when the ice was gone, you went on to play baseball, soccer, lacrosse. Who knows? Now it's not like that. So the importance of the L'Oréal Cup and how we base the L'Oréal Cup is on reconciliation. So to be part of it, you need to have. Two non-Indigenous, you need two Métis and two Indigenous. Those are you have to have that, and after that you can be all non-Indigenous, you can be whatever you want to do, but really what it does, it lets people on the adult level to actually reach out to people and ask them to play on your team, which doesn't show the youth that are going to be there, that they get to see more diversity on a team instead of just the Indian tournaments. There's nothing wrong with them. They're awesome. But we want to lead the way on truth and reconciliation. And that's where Brian and I really have been pushing with Métis Nation Saskatchewan, we want to lead the way to bring everybody together under one roof and basically celebrate the game, the celebration of hockey is a big part of Métis, Indigenous, and non-Indigenous. It's sport, whether it be football, hockey, getting kids more involved in sports, however that may be, but get them moving. So for us as leading the way, that charge, so to speak, and here's even the biggest part of all, which we can now announce, for the first time ever, the NHL is basically partnering with Métis Nation Saskatchewan.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very cool.
That is very cool because it's never been done. We presented to the NHL in March of this year, and we found, or yeah, it was February, mid-February, and we found out, we chuckled April 1st.
Oh, wow.
They go, you know, we get the Stanley Cup, I think, once or twice a year to raise dollars. So when if I came to your station and said, hey, we want you to support Louis Riel Cup, Inspire, Métis Nation Saskatchewan. Yeah. Well, who's involved? Well, guess what? For the first time ever, the NHL is letting us use their shield.
That's awesome.
It's never been done, ever. So that's why it's taken so long with other things, because the shield is going to help us raise dollars, and we want to raise enough dollars, you know, so that the principal never gets touched, and we use the interest to help all kids stay involved in some sort of sport. Hopefully hockey for sure will be part of it, but other sport as well. Mm-hmm.
Rich, I'm sorry to interrupt. I will send the link out for this event on Tuesday if anybody's interested, 877-332-8255. And I know you're going to have some great stories, and there's going to be a number of Indigenous hockey players that you know, had a moment or a long career like you did in the NHL. But I'm wondering just, and you do a lot to give back, and your story is well documented, but I'm wondering if, you know, ground level in Saskatoon, if you're seeing more doors opening up for Indigenous youth at not just hockey, but in sports in general.
Yes, it is. It's starting to, for sure. And I think it's all what's been happening in the last, you know, just with Truth and Reconciliation, there's awareness, right? And that's really when you're seeing young people now, and I see even young people, you know, when you go even around Saskatoon here now, before, it seems like even the playgrounds now, you seem like, because I grew up more, like when I came to Saskatoon, I live on the east side, the west side, where a lot of my family lives, so I go that way. And the kids seem like they got a little bit more bounce to their step than they used to like 5-10 years ago. So nice. I think that's really part of the thing that we're doing at the start. It takes time, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Rich, we very much appreciate your time. Congratulations on that partnership, Rich, with the National Hockey League. And of course, next year's a Louis Riel Cup, and we'll have to have you back to promote that event. Have a great evening on a Tuesday on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And thanks again for your time, Rich.
No, thank you guys very much for having me. I appreciate you guys taking the time also. And look forward to meeting you guys. Hopefully we'll see you guys on Tuesday.
That is Rich Pilon joining us, of course, former NHL player. Again, if you want to grab a ticket, HockeyScoutsFoundation.com. Celebrating Indigenous hockey legends next Tuesday on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Here comes Bailey. He's got it! Tied a 4-0 world record for Donovan Bailey in the gold medal!
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
But you better promise me I'll be back in time.
Yeah, I'm a man. You
know
me?
Gotta get back in time.
On this day in sports history, it was September 26th. The year was 2016. It was after the death of Jose Fernandez in Major League Baseball. It was the Marlins' first game after the death of their teammate. It was the first batter in that game.
Gordon to right. It's deep. And it's gone! D. Gordon has hit it out. And the Marlins have a 1-0 lead.
You'll remember the walk around the bases, D. Gordon overcome with emotion as he leads off the first inning for the Miami Marlins that day to honor his friend, former teammate, Jose Fernandez. after his death just the day before was announced. That was this day, September 26th, 2016. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Rough Riders have Sam Emilis back.
That's good news.
They have Sean Bain Jr. back.
That's really good news.
They have Marcus Sales back.
That's phenomenal news.
So some healthy players returning to the lineup.
And the Vikings back, too.
AJ Ouellette?
No, Philippe.
Oh, Philippe Gagnon. Sorry. The beard. Yes. He is also back as the sixth offensive lineman for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Meanwhile, doubleheader tonight, Davis Alexander returns for the Montreal Alouettes as they take on Calgary, and you got BC against Toronto. Coming up next, speaking of Toronto, the Jays have a big set this weekend, their final weekend. Mike Wilner with a preview on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.